Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
This is Melanie Cole's Health Radio.
Well, you've heard about brain games and things that you can do to keep your brain healthy. As you know, your brain is a muscle, just like all the rest of the muscles in your body, and it must be worked and used for it to be healthy. My guest today is Vince Andrich. He's a performance nutrition expert. So, Vince, tell us about brain games. I need one. What can you do to keep your brain healthy? People talk about balancing their checkbook and doing crossword puzzles. Give us some of the things we can do to keep our brains active.
Well, balancing your checkbook and writing or doing math with a pen and pencil are great ways to start. Crossword puzzles, most of your audience is probably familiar with ways to do that. It's where you're clearly focused on solving a problem, be it a pretty simple problem or a more complex problem. But the part of the magic is you have to be focused on it. Like if you're doing a crossword puzzle, it's very difficult for you to kind of daydream or it'll never get it done. So part of it is learning to focus and doing a task. So that's number one. Number two, there's a relationship between, let's say, video learning or online brain games, and then from there going to more manual brain games, like doing crossword puzzles by hand with a pen and paper, writing with a pen and paper, math, and so on. And once you get to those areas, the transfer of your capacity, because it's going to improve, needs to take place by actually doing something more complex, like learning an instrument, maybe even playing a sport that you like, but using some of that cognitive ability to improve your ability on the court or to play a different sport by learning it. Because what they find is a lot of the brain games are great. You get good at the game, but you don't get good at other parts of life. So
it doesn't carry over.
Merging. It does on just, it doesn't carry over to things you may want it to. So
yeah.
You really need to combine all three.
Okay, so just like a muscle, you need to gradually progress. If that muscle gets strong enough to lift a 5-pound dumbbell 10 times, then you need to go to a 10-pound dumbbell or an 8-pound dumbbell and do that one. So there's a gradual progression is what you're saying. So once a game or something becomes a little bit easier for you, you have to find something a little bit more difficult and keep pushing that level.
Correct. Yeah, okay. They call it working memory, which is the memory that is engaged in short-term tasks, like let me find this word for this or let me figure this simple math problem out. And then from there, you're basically teaching your brain or training it to use less energy on those tasks. And then when you take them to a more complex task, you build it up even further, like you're saying, a more resistance. And so then over time, your capacity to do these complex tasks and simple ones, require less brain energy, much like being trained. You take, if you haven't trained, you go in and do something and you're really sore and you're exhausted. But if you've been training, you have more endurance, you have a greater oxygen consumption ability. So you can do more with less. And that's really the idea behind all this, is to train the capacity and then let it transfer so that in real life, it doesn't drain your brain as much to do the tasks that you normally would peter out on.
So people use things to help them focus and help their brain be more mentally alert. I mean, on college campuses, we see Adderall being spread around for this, and people drink a lot of coffee. Are these things counterproductive for our brain health?
Coffee or caffeine at a certain level is beneficial. It can have a reverse effect if you take in too much. Much like anything, there's a contradictory effect. They call it contraindications, but in most stimulants, it happens when your body is overcompensating for the stimulation, and therefore it releases chemicals so that you don't get too wired. So different biology comes into play. Some people have a higher tolerance, some don't, but some people that drink a ton of coffee can drink it right before bed because it makes them sleepy. I mean, that's the counterintuitive effect of it at too high of a dose. when it comes to Adderall, those things really work by depleting or pushing out dopamine and other neurochemicals. The biggest downside is, where do you replenish those neurochemicals? Because you can beat on them all you want, but they have to be recharged. And it's not like just eating a donut or eating protein to recharge them. It takes time, much like other drugs, where people say might use cocaine. They feel good for a moment or moments, and then it either takes more to get them that feeling, or the crash is unbearable. The crash comes because the neurotransmitter, mainly dopamine, has been hit so hard, has no time to replenish. And so every time the person takes the drug, it's really not doing anything. And the more you do it, the more you need. And at the end of the game, then you just experience depression because you release all the feel-good chemicals or excitatory chemicals that make you think and make you have, you know, a better capacity to think of new things or plan or set goals sometimes or study. But the downside is pretty harsh.
So, Vince, what age do you recommend people start doing some of these things? I mean, our kids are learning in school all the time, so their brains are kind of working overtime. And teenagers, and then there's into college. And when should you be doing things that are not just what you have to do for work and for learning?
Well, they find that actually video games are good. But also, you know, taking that and having the child, and the age would probably be even in kindergarten, first grade, or before. You just start doing these things where they're putting blocks together. Those are very beneficial, and then they can transfer that to maybe more difficult things. And they could use computer games, but make sure that they're not just exclusively using computer games, that they're actually pulling out a pen and paper or engage with another person. Social interaction, and lack of a better term, kind of interaction and almost debate, where you're having a conversation where there's opinions that are being thrown around and you have to think about the other person's point of view and then bring your point of view and actually hold two ideas at the same time in your mind. That's extremely beneficial. And that's a lot of times it's lacking, where people are like, I can't get that because they're so focused on their point of view. They've never been able to open their mind to the other. And it's been shown that people with very high intellect can hold two opposing ideas in their mind. And they know they are. They may have their own opinion of it, but they know that they need to look at both sides of something. And that helps people solve problems and helps people make good decisions because they're able to look at both sides.
Well, that's really interesting, and that intelligent people can look at that and keep two ideas in their mind at the same time. And in just the last minute, what do you think multitasking is doing to our brain health right now, and what can we do to change it? Give us your best advice.
My best advice would be to limit it, or maybe not limit it as much as go towards brain games and other things we've already talked about and focus more attention on those. So that even if you drive home a different way from work, that causes you to focus because the going home the normal way is pretty rote and it's ingrained in your brain. So learning something new, doing something new, putting yourself in a different environment will help you not multitask, because when things are mysterious and or different or uncomfortable, meaning you haven't been there yet or done it yet, it's very difficult to multitask. You can't and you won't.
That's right.
Right to your point. You multitask when you have like three things you've done before, but you're kind of just doing them, but you're really not.
You can't really do it all. This is Melanie Cole, and we're finishing up. Thanks for listening. Stay well.